Okay, well, good morning again. Y'all didn't say good morning back. So there are people here. We are excited to be able to worship and just have these opportunities, have this technology to be able to make this happen. I am thankful there are live bodies in here this morning so that I can look at people and not have to stare at pews. And days like today make you very thankful for the days when we do have this building full and have a lot of bodies in here. But I am thankful for our elders to keep us safe and to help us, and I'm still glad we have this opportunity. This is our third Sunday, which is what we're calling our Momentum Sundays, where each of these third Sundays, I will bring a lesson that coordinates with this theme of being a church in motion. Thankful to Austin for his scripture reading today. We are going to be in that particular text, John 1, 35 through 51. And we're going to be talking about, again, being that one person. And if you got the order of worship for this week, you'll notice that we're going to be talking about being the one who invites someone. And I did something a little different inside for your sermon notes. I put in there some prompts for you to fill out as we go through the lesson. This will be in case there is a week where I don't get a fill-in-the-blank type of outline out to you. This is still a great way to keep engaged in the sermons and the lessons. That way we still have things that we can think about as we go throughout the week. Now, as we start this lesson, I don't know how many of you were big fans of hide and seek when you were growing up. If you're a parent today or a grandparent, there's probably still those moments when there are children in your life who want to play hide and seek. Well, when I was growing up, flashlight tag was a big thing. Living in Alabama and living in a neighborhood, a lot of my friends would gather together when, I guess, the street lights would come on past dark. And as we would gather at somebody's, usually someone who had a centralized house, we would get to their house and we had to make sure we brought our flashlight with good batteries in it. And we would play flashlight tag. Well, the gist of this game is you had to find people who were hiding in the dark, and that's what your flashlights were for. Now, to find out who was going to be that first seeker, we all drew sticks or straws. We didn't have straws, though, so we would go find sticks and make one of them the shortest stick. Well, that seeker would then count to 60 seconds. That's when we would all turn our flashlights on and scatter and go and find the best hiding place we possibly could. And once we found that hiding place, you turned your flashlight off and you waited. You waited for that seeker to come around, and as the game went on, eventually that seeker would find some of the kids, right? And the way he caught you was he would go find you in your dark little hiding spot and he would flash his light on you, and you were now going to join him in going to find others. But let's say you had a really, really, really good hiding spot. Maybe you're hiding in some random creek cave or something like that. Eventually, you were hoping you would get found because that darkness became very dark. And all of a sudden, you're starting to wonder, what is crawling in the ground next to me? What is on me? And you didn't want to be in the dark any longer. And so you were hoping and almost praying that this seeker would come and find you and shine his light on you. In my years as a minister and an evangelist, I can tell you a lot of people are tired of being in the darkness. They're tired of waiting in their hiding place, and they're hoping that somebody will come into their life and bring light in there. And as we go throughout this lesson today, I want to encourage us to be those people, that are going to go and find someone who is in the darkness. Because at all times in our lives, there was a time where we were in darkness, where we were in that hiding place from God, and we are thankful that somebody came and shined their light on us. They shined the light of Jesus into our life. I don't know who it was for you. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was a preacher growing up. Maybe it was a sibling, a family member, a friend of yours. Somebody helped you. Somebody found you in your dark place and helped you come to Jesus. And I want us to be that person. And I want to encourage us to be that person. That's why this morning we're going to talk about being the one who invites someone. Now, it does seem very ironic that I'm going to be talking about a sermon on evangelism when we have about 8 people in this auditorium right now. And it almost seems like we did the opposite today of not inviting people. But I hope this message still rings true, because guess what? Sunday is coming again next week, and it's coming again the week after that, and it's coming again the week after that. And we can always, in each and every day of our lives, invite someone to Jesus. Invite someone to come out of that darkness and come into his amazing light. So we are going to be in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. And what is really, really, really awesome about this text, and what we're going to notice, is there were 4 invitations given here that transform someone's life. There are 4 invitations or 4 invites that we find in this particular text that ultimately transform someone's life, brought them out of darkness and into the light. I want you to notice with me the first one right there in the beginning, verses 35 through 40, we see a mentor that invites a mentee. Now notice, we're talking about John the Baptist here. So in the next day, John was standing with his 2 disciples, okay? And he looked at Jesus as he walked and he said, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God." Now, if you were to go a little bit earlier in this chapter, you would see the testimony of John and how he is always trying to point the finger to Jesus, to the one that's coming after him. He was the forerunner. He was the one who was to make the path for Jesus. And so he's always telling people, and this is what I love about John, he was always trying to tell people about the guy coming after him. He was always trying to point to the Messiah. And yes, we see him giving a testimony about Jesus and telling him, "Behold the Lamb of God." In verse 29, he'll actually go on to say, "Who takes away the sins of the world." I love that about John. He was always trying to encourage people to look towards Jesus. And notice, because John was like that, notice what happens to these 2 disciples. Okay, so as he's pointing and saying, "Look, behold the Lamb of God," the 2 disciples of John heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Now that's an amazing moment, because I wonder how long these 2 disciples had been following John, had been going with him in his ministry, being in the wilderness, calling people to repentance and all of this, and baptizing lots of people. I wonder how long these disciples were with him. And all of a sudden, John says, "Oh, look, there's the Lamb of God. That's the guy I've been talking about. That's the guy I've been trying to point you to." And what was their immediate response? To follow. "Oh, yeah, that's the guy John's been telling us about. We need to go after him. That's who we need to be following. That's who needs to be the person we become disciples of." John did such a fantastic job pointing people to Jesus and not himself. And so Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, and I want you to ask yourself this question too: what do you seek? As we've discussed, as we've had other lessons in the Gospel of John this month, a lot of these questions that John writes in his gospel account are intended for us to ask of ourselves. And this question is one of those questions. What do we seek when we follow Jesus? What are we trying to find? What are we wanting Jesus to be? And that's what Jesus is asking these 2 disciples. What do you seek? And they said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" That kind of seems awkward when we don't understand that culture of this day and age. Why in the world would they just go, "Hey, where are you staying at? What motel are you in? Or what house are you in?" But what was being said here, and what a lot of scholars believe this question is trying to relate, is most disciples, when they would find a rabbi or a teacher or a master, they would want to go and stay with them. And so that's what these two disciples of John who are now following Jesus are saying, hey, we want to go with you wherever you're going. We want to go to the house that you're going to because we want to learn more from you, right? That's what they were seeking. They were seeking Jesus and they were seeking to follow him. Now, what's cool in verse 39, we start to realize who is actually one of these people. So he tells them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. Now, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So because John was such a great mentor, and because he had done such a wonderful job pointing people to Jesus, two of his disciples became followers. Two of his disciples became transformed. They became followers of Jesus. Now, this is going to have a great, wonderful domino effect, and we'll see that as we go. But I want us to think about that on how a mentor can invite a mentee. For me, and in this picture, you see my wife, but what you don't see and what I tried to find throughout all of my pictures and even asking one of my mentors if he had the picture is that a mentor of mine invited me to Jesus. When I was living in Oklahoma, and I've probably stated this story numerous times, I worked for a family, the Olson family, and I was not a Christian at that moment. I was lost. I was in that dark place. And the man I worked for saw that and knew that. And so he invited me day after day to come to Bible study with him, to come over to their house to eat, to come to worship with him. And week after week, day after day, he invited me. I kept denying him. I kept staying in that dark place. But ultimately, through his inviting, through his trying to shine the light of Jesus in my life, I said, okay, I'll come with you. And that changed my life forever. And what you don't see is right before this picture that I got to take with my fiance at that time was that mentor of mine baptizing me in this pond. And it was a time when my life changed. A time when I came out of that hiding place, a time when I came out of darkness, and now I was walking in the light. And that's what I want to encourage everybody. If you are a mentor, whether that be you work with somebody, whether that be you have good friends of yours that are look up to you, whether it be young people, maybe you're a teacher and you have young people in your classes, those are opportunities that we can invite somebody to Jesus. We can invite someone to come out of darkness and come into the light, because mentors are definitely a great asset to inviting people to Jesus. Now, I want you to notice the next invitation we find. So, number one we find is Andrew, who was a disciple of John. We see a mentor inviting a mentee. Now look at Andrew and what he does. So look at verses 41 and 42. He found first his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which translated means Christ. We have found the anointed one. We found the person we've been hearing all these prophecies about, the ones we heard all the rabbis telling us about, the ones we grew up hearing about from our father. We have found him. I know where he is. We can go to him. We can be these people. We can follow him. We can be his disciples. And so notice what he does in verse 42. He brought him to see Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. And because of that, Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. Because Andrew was now following Jesus, he couldn't help but go to his own brother and say, hey, look, I found him, and I want to bring you to him. We don't actually see the invitation. We just see Andrew bringing Peter to Jesus, or Simon to Jesus. I wonder what that looked like. Was it him pulling him at the arm, saying, hey, let's go, I need you to... Was it him making up a story like, hey, we're going to go grab something to eat, and all of a sudden they show up at Jesus' house and saying, oh, yeah, by the way, this is the Messiah. All I know is that a brother invited a brother. He knew that he had found Jesus, and he wanted to go tell one of his closest companions, his own sibling, about him. Maybe Peter was in a dark place. If you've ever seen the Chosen movie or the Chosen show, in that they depict Peter in a very dark place. And Andrew's invitation helped so much in Peter's life. And it's so encouraging that we know people closest to us usually can have the most benefit in inviting us to Jesus. I want to introduce you to another picture, and it's Heather and me again, but it's 2 years later than the one we just saw. This was April 13, 2017, when Heather decided to have her sins washed away in baptism and come to Jesus. And I know I've told this story before, but it was about 9:30 at night. Heather and I were on this journey in our life ever since we were dating to try and put Jesus at the forefront of our lives. We wanted him to be our focus. We wanted him to help build our marriage. We wanted him to help shine the light for our steps. Well, at 9:30 at night on April 13, 2017, she was crying when I got home. And she said, "I'm ready to be baptized. I'm ready to come out of this dark place that I've lived in for 25, 26, 27 years, and I want to be in the light." And so at that time, while Georgia was 4 months old, we went to the church building, and I had the wonderful opportunity to baptize her. We have such great relationships with people in our life. And those relationships may be a mom and dad. They may be a sibling. They may be a spouse. They may be children. Those family relationships we have been created over so many years already. Those may be the best opportunities we have to invite to Jesus. Those may be the best opportunities we have to help somebody come out of that dark hiding place to come into the light. What are we doing with those relationships? Are we trying to help them? Are we trying to invite them to come and be in the light of Jesus? We see a brother inviting a brother. Maybe there's someone in our family that we should invite, that we should try to bring into the light. Next, we see a Savior who invites a lost soul. I want you to notice verses 43 and 44. "The next day, he purposed to go into Galilee, and he found Philip. And Jesus said to him, 'Follow me.' Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter." So now number three, our third invite, is actually Jesus himself going out and inviting a lost soul to come and follow him. And to be honest, all of us at one point in our lives were lost souls. And Jesus and God want everybody to come to him. They don't want anybody to stay in that dark hiding place. And the Savior is constantly trying to invite people to come to him. And what we see here from Philip is he accepted that invitation. He said, "Okay." And he followed him. Now, following, there's a lot to that. It means learning. It means actually letting him lead. It means putting aside my selfish desires and letting Jesus be the king over my life. And Philip was willing to do that. You see, the Savior was always calling to us when we were younger, when we were in our dark hiding place. And at one point in our life, we all accepted that invitation. And that invitation still stands for everybody who is still in that dark place. Again, like people we've talked about, maybe it's a brother of ours, maybe it's a sister, maybe it's a mom or a dad, maybe it's someone we mentor that works for us, that is in our lives. And now we're also going to see Philip go and invite somebody else. So our last invitation that we see is a friend who invites a friend. So look at what Philip does. After he has realized he found the Messiah, notice what he does. Verse 45, "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph.'" Now maybe the specific scripture that Philip was referring to is Deuteronomy 18:15, where Moses will actually say, "You'll be looking for a prophet like me one day." Well, that came in Jesus. He was now the Savior of these people. like Moses was the savior of the Israelite people. They have found him. And so Philip went and found Nathanael and said, hey, come on, I found him, let's go. And notice what he says. Nathanael said to him, can any good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said to him, well, why don't you come and see? I wonder how Philip responded. What was that come and see like? Was it more along the lines of, why don't you come and find out? Or was he sincerely trying to convince his friend to actually come and see? I know this has become a famous phrase since the Chosen series has come out. But sometimes that's the phrase we need to use with people. Just come and see. If you have doubts, like Nathanael did, thinking what good could come of Nazareth, why don't we put it in their court and say, well, why don't you look for yourself? Why don't you come find out for yourself? And so Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, which implies that Philip was actually bringing him, and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Nathanael had realized that he found the Messiah. Because of the invitation that was given by Philip, he was able to see the Son of God. He was able to believe in him. And how wonderful is that? And how wonderful are friends in our lives that have brought us to church, have brought us to a Bible study, have brought us to Jesus. Maybe there's that friend in your life that you can think of that was the first person to invite you to come to worship with them, to come to a Bible study at their house, to even just read the scriptures with them. Aren't we thankful for those friends? Now, I want to go on a little bit past that and talk about Dunbar's number. Maybe you've heard of this before, but this is an interesting theory. It's a theoretical cognitive limit to the number of meaningful social relationships a person can maintain at any given time. It was proposed by British anthropologist Robin Dunbar in the 1990s based on his studies of the primate brain size and social group sizes. So what is Dunbar's number? Notice this is what he said. He said, you can have 5 close loved ones. That's your inner circle. Those are your closest relationships. And then he says you'll have about 15 good friends, which those are close friends who provide emotional support. You have 50 friends, people you see regularly and interact with socially. And then he says you'll have 150 meaningful contacts. Those are broader connections with whom you have a sense of trust and understanding. That's Dunbar's number. He's going to go on to say that you can really only keep about 1,500 names in your head and actually be able to understand who people are. Now, there are people who can remember a lot of people's names. But I want to use that 150 meaningful contacts. These are people you can text and they're not going to be like, what in the world are they texting me for? These are people you know, that you have a relationship with. And those are the people that we can have an opportunity to invite. I don't know who that 150 is for anybody sitting in here or anybody watching our service this morning, but you have that amount of people. You could probably go through your contacts list and realize that, wow, I have 500 contacts in my phone. Maybe 150 of those you know are close, meaningful relationships. Those are opportunities. Opportunities to invite someone out of a dark place that they are in to come into the light of Jesus. And so what I want to encourage us this week is with this specific task. I want you to answer this question. And I want you to write this question down. Who will be the one you invite? You have 150 opportunities, 150 contacts. Who is going to be that one? I'm not going to ask you to invite all 150. That'd be awesome, and that'd be way overachieving. But just pick one person. Now, that invitation may be, hey, come to services this next Sunday, which prayerfully we hope that there is no more snow or ice. Or maybe that message looks like, hey, I want you to come over to my house tonight, and I would love to just talk to you about your spiritual life. I would love to talk to you about your relationship with Jesus. I don't know what that contact looks like, but we also want to make it easier for you to be able to do that. Maybe you're shy. Well, what you were going to see this morning when you came to services is in our invitation stations, we now have this new invitation in there that I'm going to encourage people to take. Take at least three of them. There are these come and see cards. They're like the other ones we have in there, but they're yellow and they're very vibrant. And I want you to give those to three people. The next time you're at this building, grab three of them and find three people in your life to give them to. We're also going to have the opportunity the next time you're in this building to pick up one of our yard signs. That's what you've seen up here. And what you would have seen this morning when you came into our building was our hallways are lined with these yard signs. Now, it's going to be an encouragement for me and the leadership here that you take one of those per household and stick it in your yard. That way, maybe there will be friends of yours that walk through your neighborhood. Maybe there's other people that you don't even know who are walking when the sun comes out. I know when we lived in South Dakota, whenever it got warm, it was like ants coming out of their house, right? Everybody wanted to be around and walking. Well, maybe they'll walk by this sign and they'll be encouraged to scan that QR code. And what that will do is maybe, just maybe, somebody will walk by there who's in a dark place and says, you know, I actually want to go and visit this place. That'd be awesome. And we want to make every opportunity as easy as possible for you to invite people. So, again, be someone who is going to invite someone. Pick somebody this week to invite to our Wednesday night Bible class, to our next Sunday services, or maybe to just come over and have a cup of coffee and talk about Jesus with. I hope this has been an encouraging lesson for you. Again, we're going to be having Bible class right after this, and I'm excited about that. But I want to extend the invitation for those of us who are sitting in here. And also, if you're online watching, if you are in need of responding to the invitation, feel free to reach out to me, to one of the other ministers, or one of our elders, and we would love to help you in any way we can. But if you have a need this morning, whether you would like us to pray for you or whether you are ready to come to Jesus and have your sins washed away in baptism, we would encourage that. We just ask that you come while we stand and sing the song of invitation.